Matthew 24:16-21. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And so the remnant of Israel, especially the 144,000, they will flee on the mountains in the West Bank. Because most of the mountains in Israel are in the West Bank. They will flee into the West Bank, and then according to Isaiah 16, they will flee into Moab. And God says to Moab, they should receive these escaping people and hide them. So they will go into East Palestine, into Jordan. And there they will survive in the desert. But just then will come the catastrophic attack from the north. And now many passages in biblical prophecy speak about that. And I will speak about that in this afternoon. So just some hints. In Isaiah, this enemy that will come from the north is called Assyria. And in Daniel 11:40-45, it is called the king of the north. And I will show this afternoon who this enemy is. This is the Islamic world coming from the north against Israel. And they will destroy the whole country. Joel 1 and 2 explains that the whole country, being like the Garden of Eden, will be destroyed by fire. And this will be a world war eventually of 1260 days. And the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 24, and except those days should be shortened to be exactly 3.5 years, 1260 days. There should no flesh be saved. So humanity would not survive. And then Zechariah 12 verse 2 says, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. A cup of trembling is a cup with alcohol. If you get too much, you will no more be able to think logically. So Jerusalem should take away all the logical thinking of the people around Israel. That's the meaning of the words. And we see that already today. How the Arab Muslim world is looking on Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is just a cup of trembling for them. And even the United Nations are drinking of this cup, aren't they? But you see this catastrophe for Israel, Zechariah 13:8, and it shall come to pass that in all the lands that the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. So in this deepest distress, a third of the population, according to the numbers of today, this would be at least 2 million. It's terrible to think about these two-thirds that will perish. By the way, in the land, not in Europe. You cannot apply this verse to the Holocaust. In the land. But we have no promise that one-third of Australia will be saved one day. But we have a promise for Israel. One-third. And so, eventually the Messiah will come. Jesus Christ will come, Zechariah 14:3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And how will the remnant react? Zechariah 12 verse 10, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. A very intelligent rabbi of Australia once said, when Messiah will come, I will ask him, Mr. Messiah, have you already been here before? But you could tell him, you could be even more intelligent when you would just look in your scriptures and see. Don't wait until he's coming. You can know it before. Because in the Talmud, This verse is applied to Messiah. So, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. The first time Messiah came and he was pierced in Jerusalem. By the way, in the West Bank. Because Calvary is in Eastern Jerusalem. You see the meaning of the West Bank for the world. Messiah died there, was pierced there, and he will return on the Mount of Olives, which is in the West Bank. You see the meaning of the West Bank not only for Israel, but for the world. He was born in Bethlehem at his first coming in the West Bank. Bethlehem is the West Bank. And he will come back on Mount of Olives in the West Bank. And they will look upon him and mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn, when he loses the firstborn. And then they will be able to pray literally Isaiah 53. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Maybe you ask you, why is Isaiah 53 written in the past? It is exactly written in this way that the remnant of Israel will be able to pray literally what you read in the Bible. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. But we don't have to wait until Israel will come to this conclusion. And all Israel will be saved. Because the dirt that will survive will be all Israel. You see, mathematics, that's mathematics in the Bible. One dirt is all. But we can do this already now. If we confess our sins to God in prayer and receive the Lord Jesus as this suffering Messiah who died in our place, in order to spare us from an eternal judgment, we can get peace with God already now. And this is wonderful because the leftist peace movement in Israel is called Shalom Achshav, peace now. And this means we leftists, we Marxists, we don't want to wait until Messiah comes. We want to have peace now. But without the Prince of Peace, it's impossible to get peace. But it is possible to have peace now with God. In a world without peace, we can have peace with God through Messiah Jesus. Thank you.